a long time I've wanted to give this sermon, but it's only recently that I've set myself to do that. Today I'm going to talk about the scripture that Handel used to write his oratorio called The Messiah. And I dare say that most people in assemblies like ours, of like mind in the so-called sacred name movement, have been raised on the traditions of Christianity, like Sunday worship, and for many years have celebrated the Catholic holidays of Christmas, Easter, and New Year's. One of the most poignant traditions at Christmas time, at least for me in growing up, was the singing of Handel's Messiah. Now, you may be surprised to know that Handel did not compose this work to be performed at Christmas. The separate works of his oratorio include scriptural verses concerning his Yahshua's birth, death, resurrection, and the granting of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, as well as the resurrection of the faithful believers in the end times. It is basically the work of Handel here is a testimony of the spring feasts of Yahweh, though never acknowledged as such. The first performance, for example, was significantly given in Dublin, Ireland on April 13th, 1742. Although most people will associate Handel's Messiah to the New Testament perspective, the bulk of his work, the bulk of the lyrics of this piece come from the prophets and the writings. Oddly, one key verse that one might expect to have been included in the work, but was not, is Luke chapter 2, verse 7, which reads, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." That doesn't appear in Handel's Messiah. It's kind of interesting. Instead, after that verse, he picks up the next seven verses describing shepherds in the field being told of the miraculous event and the fulfillment of prophecy of Messiah's birth. Handel's Messiah is indeed a great masterpiece of musical composition. It is also an example of how to install a message within people's minds, whether true or false, by associating the emotional impact of the artistry with the message itself. This, I submit for your consideration, is the glue which holds men to their traditions. It is indeed a strong bond and difficult to break. However, in the book of John, chapter 8, beginning verse 31, we read, "Then Yahshua said to those Yahudim, believers in Yahweh, who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free of that glue we talked about in traditions.'" In spite of how we, mankind, twist the word of Yahweh and Yahshua, Handel's work is based in Scripture. So let's examine the heart of this work and shake off the traditions. All of the lyrics in Handel's work are from Scripture, and he begins with Isaiah 40, verse 1, which... And this is Yahweh speaking to Isaiah. Note that the book symbol that I have there at the top represents verses used in Handel's Messiah. Comfort, and that word comfort literally means speak with the heart. Comfort, yes, comfort my people. He's speaking to Isaiah, telling him to comfort his people, Yahweh's people. Prepare the way, that is, the path, as in the flight of an arrow. Prepare the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Again, these are all lyrics, and I wish that I could accompany this with the music. But it's enough, I believe, just to understand what these words mean. The meaning of verse 4, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low, is metaphorically explained by Yahshua in Matthew 23. Okay, sorry. In Matthew 23, beginning at verse 11, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The phrase, the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, back in Isaiah 40, and all flesh shall see it together, is more literally revealed in Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And the next set of lyrics in Handel's Messiah is Haggai, chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says Yahweh of hosts. Well, who is the desire of all nations? And what temple is being described here? Well, we find the answer in John chapter 2, verse 18 and following. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Yahshua answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Yahshua had said. What scripture did they believe? Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. I will fill this temple with glory, says Yahweh of hosts. So remember, there was no scripture at that time other than the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. The New Testament had not been written or canonized yet. Now what is meant by the temple of his body? Obviously, or should I say literally, he was speaking of his own body. But there is another body, the body of believers, who also will be filled with his glory. In 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious, who's he talking about? You. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. So this temple has many different meanings. It does mean the physical, actual temple. It means the body of Yahshua. And it also means us, that we are the living stones that make up this living, breathing temple. The next verse that is found in this oratorio is Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the master whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says Yahweh of hosts. Now, this is a herald of Yahshua's first coming, in which he provides the emblems of the new covenant, the one written in Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now understand this, that Yahshua came to bring the new covenant to those of the written word and to those of the living word. Basically to the Jews and to the Christians. The Christians have the Messiah of Israel, and the Jews have the word in writing. Verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. Verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the whole house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Literally, it means I will not mention or act in response to your sin. Do you really think that he could not remember what we've done? Forgiveness is not an act on his part of forgetting. It's an act of not speaking and acting in behalf of our sins, you know, against us because of our sin. The last sentence, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more, is a Hebrew parallelism, effectively clarifying that Yahweh's forgiveness is found as he restrains from destroying us from our sins. He restrains himself from destroying us because of our sins. That is the act of forgiveness. Now consider the magnitude of this. To honor the sacrifice of his son and to honor us for our obedience to him, Yahweh will grant us eternal life. Handel then uses the words of Malachi to describe Yahshua's second coming in Malachi 3, beginning at verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap. He will sit, in other words, he will reign, as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify who? The sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Wait a minute. The Levitical priests will again offer sacrifices in Yahshua's millennial reign? I thought Israel was done away with. I thought the Levitical priesthood no longer exists. Well, according to the word of Yahweh, they haven't been put away. They haven't been forgotten by Yahweh. And we'll see more of that. In Zechariah 14, for example, we read, And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. Okay, so during the thousand-year reign of the Messiah, we will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm just imagining all the other feasts as well, because they are forever. Moving down in Zechariah 14 to verse 20, it reads, In that day, that's a catchphrase for a prophecy in the end times, in that day, holiness to Yahweh, and in Hebrew it reads, Kodesh la Yahweh, shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in Yahweh's house, Yahweh's temple, shall be like the bulls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to Yahweh of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. Now, although we don't know how this will be accomplished Here it is in black and white. All right, Handel uses Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the sovereign himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means El with us. This is repeated in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Yahweh through the prophet. Okay, what prophet? Isaiah. Saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated El with us. In Isaiah 40, verse 9, we read, O Zion, you who bring good tidings. Now, literally, good tidings in Hebrew means preaching the good news. Literally. Get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who preach the good news, you who give good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold, your Elohim. Who's Yahweh referring to? He's referring to his son. Elohim means mighty one. And it is he that we need to see as our Elohim. Behold your mighty one. Behold your Messiah for whom you have been waiting. Isaiah 60, beginning at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, the nations, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Who is responsible for shining the light to the nations? Those who worship Yahweh according to his will and obey his commandments and follow the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, who has come to this planet to give us the idea of what it means to obey his Father. We must shine that light to all people. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Who are these people? Actually, the verse before this tells us, and this verse is not found in Handel's Messiah, but it's important to understand for the meaning of Isaiah chapter 9, 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 reads, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. Now this is why, of course, those of Judaism in Jerusalem hated the Samaritans, the people up in Galilee, you know, offering thoughts like, well, is there anything good that can come out of Galilee? This is the land that was lightly esteemed by Yahweh. This is also the land, as we'll see, well, in Matthew 4, verse 12. Now when Yahshua heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. This was where he grew up. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. This is the light that shone in the darkness. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which we just read in Isaiah 9, verse 1. Now, the oratorio written by Handel continues in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, which in Hebrew means miraculous, Counselor, Mighty El, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Handel includes a parallel verse in Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields. I'm sorry, it's not a parallel verse. It's continuing on in the story. Shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of Yahweh suddenly stood before them, and the glory of Yahweh shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Messiah, the Master." Verse 12. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, interestingly, Handel did not use verse 12 that I just read in his score. But he picks it up in verse 13. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising Yahweh and saying, Glory to Yahweh in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now that is the correct translation for that verse. It's not goodwill to all men. It's goodwill and peace among men with whom Yahweh is pleased. Now, what would please Yahweh? It would be the same thing that Yahshua said: "If you love me, obey my commandments." In Zechariah chapter 9, beginning at verse 9, we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Isaiah 35, beginning at verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." Also, Isaiah 40, verse 11. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." Hallelujah to that. Matthew 11, 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The next day, John saw Yahshua coming forward. This is John 1, verse 29. And the part here I have in italics is not part of the verses that Handel used in his oratorio. "The next day John saw Yahshua coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh who takes away the sin of the world." Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Going back three chapters in Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 53. Handel mixed up the verses, I think, because he wanted to keep a steady flow from the Old Testament and New Testament. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Elohim, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 22, beginning of verse 7. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in Yahweh, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Now here's the account in the New Testament, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 41. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the staros, and we will believe him. He trusted in Yahweh. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the son of Yahweh. Back to Psalm 69, verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold, and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me. Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Acts 2, verse 31. But you did not leave his soul in Hades, in the grave, nor did you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Psalm 24, beginning at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh of hosts, he is the King of glory. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. In Psalm 68, verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that Yahweh Elohim might dwell there. Now, the reference of this verse in the New Testament is a bit different. Notice that you have received gifts among men. In Ephesians 4, verse 8, it reads, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I'm not going to explain that. We shall let it be a mystery until it is revealed. In Psalm 68, verse 11. The sovereign gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Don't you want to be one of those who proclaims the word, the truth? Romans 10, verse 14. And again, the part that's in italics is not used by Handel in his oratorio here. Romans 10, beginning at verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the evangel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And this is quoted from Isaiah 52, verse 7, and Nahum, chapter 1, verse 15. Moving down in Romans 10, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. And this is a quote from Psalm 10, verse 4. And Psalm 2, beginning at verse 1, which is also found in Acts 4, beginning at verse 23, reads, Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And in verse 4, we read, He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. And then Handel doesn't use this last verse here, but I thought it was important to put in there. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. So it will be done. In Psalm 2, verse 9, we read more of this story about Yahshua and his salvation. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Of course, that particular verse is not about those who are saved. Those are the ones who defy Yahweh. In Revelation 19, verse 6, again, the italics are not included in the lyrics. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for Yahweh El Shaddai reigns. And Revelation 11:15, Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud the voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our sovereign and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 19, verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. And Handel next goes to the book of Job, 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see Elohim. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20. But now Messiah is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah all shall be made alive. And moving down in 1 Corinthians 15 to verse 51, we read, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I want you to take note, as I'm reading through these verses, that these are all put into song and melody and harmony, that when we hear this performed, we don't necessarily pay attention to what is being presented. We're listening to the music and feeling the warmth and the inspiration that the music brings to us. And moving on to verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." It's not given. We are not guaranteed an everlasting life. And, you know, thank goodness, because if we're sinners, then that would mean eternal torture. But Yahweh be praised if people sin and stand against Yahweh, their death is instantaneous. It's not eternal. But life is eternal for those who obey Yahweh and follow Yahshua. "For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Yahweh, who gives us the victory through our Master Yahshua Messiah." Romans 8, beginning at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against Yahweh's elect? It is Yahweh who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Messiah who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession for us. So he condemns. We don't often see Yahshua in the role of the judge, but he is. Revelation 5:12. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." These are the scriptural verses that Handel used in his oratorio called The Messiah. If we can learn anything from Handel's oratorio, The Messiah, it is that the Torah, the prophets, and the writings are intimately connected to the evangels, the letters, the epistles, and the revelation found in the New Testament. It is for me a picture of how Yahweh, in spite of our lack of understanding of his ways, will bring all those to him who read the scripture for what it says, who obeys his commandments and follows his Messiah. And may we see the harmony from the Bereshit chapter 1 through the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, chapter 22. Hallelujah.